Hello, friends. Welcome to St. Stephen's and to this time set apart for worshipping our God today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today, you will hear a lot of reference to remembrance of our loved ones who have departed this time and place to return home to be with God. Today, we commemorate All Saints' Day, which in the church calendar is the day after All Hallows' Eve, or Halloween. So, we remember it today. Diane will lead us in a memorial prayer later in the service, naming those St. Stephen's congregants who have passed on in the last year. And you will have an opportunity to remember those in your own life who you carry in your heart. Will you say the call to worship with me? Holy God, Creator of life, you call us out of our dark places, offering us the grace of new life. When we see nothing but hopelessness, you surprise us with the breath of your Spirit. Call us out of our complacency and routines. Set us free from our self-imposed bonds and fill us with your Spirit of life, compassion, and peace. In the name of Jesus, your Anointed One, we pray. Amen. If you have a practice of lighting a candle for worship, let's do that together now, taking a few moments to give thanks that Jesus Christ hears the longings of our spirits to worship Him in truth and grace. Would you pray with me this responsive prayer? In all our weakness and strength, with our youth-filled spirits and aging bodies, we come to be your people, O God. Strong in faith and eager with questions, singing our praise and whispering our prayers, we come to be your people, O God. Filled with saintly determination, yet mindful of our human limitations, we come to be your people, O God. Made strong in your endless love for us, we know ourselves to be yours, and we come to be your people, O God. May we truly become your people today. Amen. Would you say the prayer of confession with me today? Beloved God, who was known to our mothers and fathers, and even to our spiritual forebears, have mercy on us. We do not always love as you would have us love. We do not always do as you would have us do. In our stubbornness, we turn from you when we should turn toward you. Hold us, dear one, comfort us when we mourn the passing of friends and family, and help us to know that they are rejoicing in your presence. We praise you for the grace you shower on us, constantly forgiving our errors. especially the ones that we don't share with anyone but you. Hear now the silent fears and worries of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, hear the good news. Though thousands upon thousands of our ancestors did not follow God's ways perfectly, we have hope in the one who did. Jesus, a man of a particular people in a particular time, taught through his words and ensured through his deeds that God has forgiven us. Thus, we and all who have come before us are rightly known as saints, the holy ones of God. Thanks be to God for God's mercy, grace, and love. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning, folks. My name's Kevin. I'm here to talk to you about some exciting events coming down since we've reopened our church to congregational and community peoples. I would like to inform you that on Thursdays, prior to the pandemic, we had a operation here that facilitated different service outlets, such as Forward House contacts, SOS, Society of Services contacts, church ministry contacts, ministry contact of social development and poverty reduction, and other community services. Prior to the pandemic, we had this operating Thursdays in conjunction with our community meals program, and got to go ahead and open it up again with all the proper COVID protocols in place and working order. Tested and trued, take my word for it. And what I would like to present to you is a request for volunteers to help with the operation of this. This is all volunteers on a rotational basis of Thursdays, two volunteers per Thursday. So a total of 8 per month. We've got 50% of that covered. My plea out to you folks is the other 50%. So I'm looking for 4 volunteers to help out. And again, services offered on site will be communications with those different ministries. And we've going to do a seasonal clothing donations table, pet food donations table, and a non-perishable foodstuffs table. Non-perishable foodstuffs, non-perishable pet foodstuffs, as we would like to keep our little furry rodent friends out of this shelter anyways. Other than that, I would like to see everybody show up at least once and check it out. And this is wishing you guys all a wonderful fall season, and look forward to talking to you again as we near the Christmas holidays. Thank you.
Today's reading is from the book of John, chapter 11, reading verses 32 through 44. Mary arrived where Jesus was, and as soon as she saw him, she fell at his feet. "Lord," she said, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus saw her weeping, and he saw how the people with her were weeping also. His heart was touched, and he was deeply moved. "Where have you buried him?" he asked them. Come and see, Lord, they answered. Jesus wept. See how much he loved him, the people said. But some of them said, he gave sight to the blind man, didn't he? Could he not have kept Lazarus from dying? Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave, with a stone placed at the entrance. Take the stone away, Jesus ordered. Martha, the dead man's sister, answered, there will be a bad smell. Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed? They took the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, I thank you, Father, that you listened to me. I know that you always listen to me, but I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me. After he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! He came out, his hands and feet wrapped in grave cloths and with a cloth around his face. Untie him, Jesus told them, and let him go. This is the end of today's reading. Thanks be to God.
As we have already heard from the beginning of the service, today is All Saints Sunday. It is the day in the church year when we take time to intentionally remember those in the faith who have gone before us, and especially we remember those saints that we have loved and lost from amongst us over this past year. We'll be doing that together in a few minutes, saying their names aloud and, as we do, affirming that while they're no longer here with us in the way that they once were, we trust that they're held in God's loving arms, and that one day we will all be together again, enjoying the fullness of the promises of our faith. Life eternal, life full and abundant, life the way it is meant to be, forever. Well, today's All Saints Sunday reading is one of the traditional readings for this day from John's Gospel, and if you have been participating in church life for long, you've probably run across this reading a time or two. It is the last part of the story of Lazarus's death and rising. In a nutshell, Lazarus becomes deathly ill, and his sisters send word to their dear and close friend Jesus, hoping that he will come and heal their brother. Well, strangely, Jesus doesn't go right away to them. It actually takes him 4 days to get there. Now, there's lots of possible reasons why he might have been delayed, but we're not going to spend time speculating on what those might be. Acknowledging that there was this delay and seeing how it played out is enough for us for today. So, 4 days after Lazarus had died, Jesus arrived in Bethany, and he was met by both of Lazarus's sisters, Martha and then Mary, and along with them, a group of friends who had gathered to mourn. When Jesus finally arrived, Mary couldn't contain her grief, and she said what probably everyone was thinking. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She was distraught, she was weeping, and her friends were weeping with her. It was a scene full of the raw intensity of grief that is fresh. And it's obvious that they were all feeling it, including Jesus. He loved Lazarus, and he obviously felt this loss deeply, because John tells us simply and profoundly that Jesus wept. Jesus eventually asked them to take him to Lazarus's tomb, and when they got there, he ordered that the stone that was blocking the tomb be removed. Now, Martha objected. Her brother had been dead for 4 days. The body had likely started to decompose, and there would have been a smell. But Jesus urged them to believe, and so they removed the stone, and he ordered Lazarus to come out, which is exactly what Lazarus did, alive and walking, although still bound in the linen cloths that had been wrapped around his body. Jesus says to them, "Unbind him and let him go." It's a remarkable story. It was a remarkable miracle. And it was a miracle that would end up having significant consequences for Jesus and for his followers. Now, obviously, the fact that Jesus was once again able to raise someone from death was great news for those who had thrown their lot in with him. And it still is, isn't it? Because of this story and the story of Jesus raising Jairus' daughter that we read in Luke, and even more because of the accounts of Jesus' own resurrection, we can be assured that despite what most of the world's narratives would have us believe, death will not have the last word. There will come a day when the work Jesus began in this life, secured through his death, and then guaranteed with his resurrection, will be complete. The powers of death will be completely defeated, and we will all know the life that God has for us, a life beyond death in all its forms. Thank you, God. However, as we sit here now, once again observing another All Saints' Day, we know well that that glorious day has not come yet. We're still waiting for it. In many ways, we are in much the same place as Mary, Martha, and those friends were when Jesus arrived in Bethany on that day. We're still living in the midst of the reality of death. And so while we absolutely hold on to the promise that one day we will hear Jesus say those words over us, unbind them and let them go, we're not quite there yet. But even so, there's more for us to hold on to from this story, more than just the ultimate hope of life with God and with each other forever. There are some things in this story that actually can give us strength and comfort now, things that can help to sustain us today and until that wonderful day comes. Well, to find these things, let's zoom in on just one portion of this story. Let's look more closely at the time between when Jesus arrives in Bethany and when he goes to Lazarus's tomb. I think this section is a bit like the time we're living in now, after Jesus' resurrection, but before his return. As he was with them then, so is he here with us now. But just as he hadn't raised Lazarus yet, he hasn't resolved all that's wrong for us yet either. Like Mary, Martha, and friends, we're still facing the reality of death and all that that means. We're living in the tension of having placed our hope in Jesus, but not getting to see that fully realized yet. We still recognize well the pain behind the statements that they said to Jesus. Things like, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Or, "Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?" We've thought, we've maybe even said things like that when we've found ourselves in the midst of our own times of grief and loss. While we are grateful for the promise of life to come, the pain of this life now can still be very much real and very sharp. We know that well, especially on days like today, as we make a special point of remembering those we've loved and lost. So let's look together at how Jesus responds in these moments before they go to the tomb. He was with them in their grief, and I think looking closely at how he was with them might show us something about how he's with us as we grieve our losses. First, and most importantly, delayed though he may have been, Jesus went to Bethany to be with them. And before he went to the tomb to perform that miraculous raising, we get to see him being fully present, there with them in their grief and sorrow. We're told that he grew disturbed, even angry, He was angry at death and its cruelty, angry at the way death ravages us and those we love. And Jesus, he seemed to be experiencing his own grief too. As I said earlier, in what I find to be one of the most powerful verses in Scripture, John tells us that Jesus wept. So he grieved, he was angry, he wept. He was fully there with them, sharing in the sea of emotions that come in times of loss. Some people actually argue that the fact that Jesus felt these things shows us that he was fully human. And while I don't disagree with that statement, I think it might be incomplete. Yes, these things are certainly part of the fullness of the human experience, and there's no question that Jesus was fully in that experience. But the real power in seeing Jesus weep and get angry and grieve isn't just that he was human and he allowed himself to feel those things. It's that he was God and he felt them. On this day, as he came to the family of his beloved friend who had died, in Christ, God wept and God grieved. And God fumed at death. This is the God we worship. Not a God who stays distanced, unmoved by our frailties and pain. No, ours is a God who comes. Who comes and sits and cries with us. A God who lets us rail at him. Couldn't you have done something, Lord? Ours is a God who is determined to stay with us through it all until he brings us to that glorious end he's promised. So friends, as we are with each other through our pain, through our grief and our losses, let's hold on together to the truth that Jesus is with us too, grieving with us, weeping with us, and always holding us close. In his great letter to the Romans, Paul said it so well. He said he was convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Friends, Christ is with us. No matter what comes. And he is going to stay with us until, as John tells us in Revelation, he wipes every tear from our eyes and there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain. This is good news. And so holding firm to that, holding firm to that hope, will you join me now in remembering and praying for these beloved ones we've lost over this past year? Let's pray together. Merciful and loving God, we remember before you the great company of the saints of every name, part of your family and throughout the world and throughout time. O Lord, as you have promised, save your people and bless their inheritance. Embrace them and lift them up to be with you forever. We give you thanks, Lord, for all your servants who have run their race and finished their course, especially these ones who have been so dear to us, who have now entered into your rest. Today, we remember especially Doreen Miller, Joyce Webster, Ernie Cardiff, Evelyn Owens, Gordon Anderson, Jerry Dennis, Barb McDonald, Chuck McMahon, Audrey Bartell. And now, Lord, we lift up those who are in each of our hearts and in our memories today. Rejoicing that we are still one with them in the same holy fellowship, we pray for the day that we may be united with them and with all the saints who've gone before us, in the joy and the peace, the everlasting perfect life. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
Good morning. Please pray with me. Awesome Creator and loving God, thank you for all the gifts you give us. Thank you for this community and island we call home. Thank you for access to so much food. Thank you for relative safety during our second weather bomb in 3 months. Thank you for stability in our levels of government. Thank you that we can worship freely online and in person without fear. Thank you for the kindness and care we have witnessed this week. Please name now anything you want to give thanks for. Awesome Creator and loving God, thank you for all the gifts you give us. Spirit, we ask for your guidance as we come out of this pandemic. Give us peaceful and grateful hearts. Encourage us to pry loose the grip of fear COVID has instilled. Support our businesses as they slowly open and bring staff forward to work in those businesses. Give us kind words to encourage and support our neighbors, friends, and families. Instill patience in us when we hear opinions and views different to our own. Help us to listen first and speak second. Speak to our hearts. Spirit, we ask for your guidance as we come out of this pandemic. Jesus, teacher, help us to learn your will for us. Show us how we can care for those who go without, who grieve, who are lonely, who are ill. We pray for all those suffering anxiety and trauma from insurrection, toppled governments, food insecurity, homelessness, hopelessness. How can we help to heal the wounds? We pray for our earth and for the work underway in Scotland this coming weekend to address climate change and global stability. Give us ears to hear the words of Indigenous elders and scientists and the courage to act together. Teach us our part in walking more gently on the earth. Jesus, we pray for this church, its pastor, the staff, and the elders. Give them wisdom and guidance as they develop sustainable plans for ministry in 2022. Jesus, teacher, Help us to learn your will for us. Would you join me now in saying the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We thank you again this week for your continued faithful giving to the work of St. Stephen's and the work of the larger church through the Mission and Service Fund. Will you join me now in saying our offertory prayer, dedicating these gifts to God's work in this world? Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We have one announcement for this week. It is a heads up, really, that it is time for our fall fundraiser again. So that will be starting this coming week, November 1st, and running through to November 15th. As we did last year, we will be holding this fundraiser through online means, seeing as we can't gather together for a congregational dinner quite yet. So there will be an email coming to you on November 1st with all of the details about how you can participate in that fundraiser that is our one annual effort at that we do each year. Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, each of whom lived a life of faith in God, and let us lay aside every weight that slows us down and run the race with endurance that God has set before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. And may the peace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be among us and with you always. Amen.